The Public News Service Daily Newscast for May the 8th, 2023. I'm Mike Clifford. 4 months after the train derailment in East Palestine, Ohio, residents say they continue to struggle with ongoing health problems and face an uncertain future without federal help in the form of an emergency disaster declaration.
East Palestine resident Cindy Walter says she's been staying in hotels after developing health problems in her home. She says since the derailment, she's had a series of doctor's visits and now has to use an inhaler.
Because I'm having a hard time breathing. She also gave me a nasal spray because of the cough and the hoarseness, the burning eyes, and the hard time breathing.
Walter adds she wants Norfolk Southern, the company responsible for the chemical spill, to pay for home air purifiers. According to the Ohio EPA, as of late April, nearly 7,000 tons of excavated contaminated soil sits in piles, waiting to be removed from the site. Nadia Ramlagan reporting.
Ohio Governor Mike DeWine says he has been told by FEMA the chemical spill does not qualify because it wasn't a natural disaster like a tornado or a flood. Now from NBC News, the gunman who killed at least 8 people and wounded a half dozen more at a Dallas area outlet mall was a 33-year-old suspected neo-Nazi sympathizer named Mauricio Garcia. Garcia was killed Saturday by a police officer who happened to be at the Allen Premium Outlets, located about 25 miles north of Dallas, police said. President Joe Biden said the gunman who lived in Dallas was armed with an AR-15-style assault weapon. NBC notes it was the second deadliest mass shooting in the U.S. this year and the second in Texas in a little over a week. Environmental groups want to stop the Nuclear Fuel Services plant in Erwin, Tennessee, from refining highly enriched uranium for nuclear weapons.
While Nuclear Fuel Services awaits approval from the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, a meeting is set for May 18th to review the plant's current work. Bucky Boone with the Appalachian Peace Education Center says it's the perfect opportunity for local residents to voice their concerns about the new production plans. Boone adds the U.S. Department of Energy awarded NFS $496 million in contracts distributed in two phases to do the work.
They have to have a license from the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, and that's what we are struggling, resisting against. If they don't get the license, even though they've got the money, they can't do that work.
For Public News Service, I'm Danielle Smith.
This is Public News Service. Teacher Appreciation Week is underway. In South Dakota, there's a mixed outlook from educators on whether they feel supported.
Coinciding with this week's events is an annual ranking from the National Education Association, which looks at factors such as educator salaries. South Dakota moved up from last in the nation to 49th. Union leaders credit an overall 13% bump in state aid funding over a two-year period. Lauren Paul of the South Dakota Education Association says while it's been encouraging to see that extra support, there's still a lot of catching up to do in staying competitive in this part of the country.
We're gaining, you know, regionally, but we haven't overtaken anybody regionally. That presents an extra challenge when there's a nationwide teacher shortage.
Paul says lawmakers need to focus more on listening to educators and what they're experiencing. According to the NEA rankings, the average educator salary in South Dakota is just over $50,000. I'm Mike Moen.
Now to Connecticut, where caregivers are calling on state officials for better conditions and higher pay. They're seeking a $25 an hour minimum wage, paid time off, affordable health care, and a pension for retirement planning.
Chase Bowling is a personal care attendant and member of SEIU 1199 Northeast. Originally, he was a machinist, but became a PCA because it wasn't easy to juggle caregiving for his mother-in-law with his full-time job. Bowling says any improvements to caregivers' working conditions must begin with better funding.
I think first and foremost thing would be increasing our budget. You know, nothing happens in this world without money, and you kind of can't take any steps forward or any initiatives towards improving our conditions without first improving our pay and providing access to benefits.
He adds better funding will be able to provide long-term job security. I'm Edwin J. Vieira.
And finally, our Alex Gonzalez lets us know it is Clean Air Month. Experts recently discussed how land conservation in Nevada is connected to combating climate change.
Former superintendent of the Lake Mead Recreation Center, Alan O'Neill, says from a climate change standpoint, the recent designation of Aviquemay as a national monument is something he calls a wise decision, especially for the Biden administration's 30 by 30 goal, which plans to protect 30% of U.S. lands and waters by 2030. O'Neill says Aviquemay National Monument connects already protected areas in California to the Boulder City Conservation and Lake Mead Recreation Areas.
We have the elevation gradients and the migratory corridors, the little nooks and crannies like the natural springs. This allows species, as we have changes in temperature and rainfall and such, to make adjustments across that larger landscape.
This is Mike Clifford. Thank you for starting your week with Public News Service, member and listener supported, heard on interesting radio stations, your favorite podcast platform. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.